Now to Galatians 5:13, page 1247 in your Scofield Bible. Galatians 5:13, we'll read this verse together. Okay, ready? For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, 1 Peter 2:16. 1 Peter 2:16, page 1313 in your Scofield Bible. Let's read this together. Ready? As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. And now let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our church, for our church friends, for the fellowship that we enjoy, for this place to meet, for the liberty to meet here. We pray that you bless us as members and guests alike. For no doubt in the world you have a singular purpose for this service. We pray that you'd meld our hearts together as one. We pray that you'd use the message in each and every life. Help us, whether young or old, to give our full attention to the preaching to the man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have outlined this sermon three times. I'm still not satisfied with the outline. I'm satisfied with the truth. It is not quite as organized as I wish it were. I copied it down word for word from Spurgeon's book. No, I didn't. And I made an outline. I study sermons all the time. I mean, I prepare sermons all the time. I'll prepare sometimes 6-8 sermons a week, and I keep them in a file in my office. Some of you preachers are going to break in my office during the night tonight and look for that file. But I pray for what I ought to preach about. I'm confident tonight that this is the subject I ought to preach on. I do not have it line upon line, precept upon precept, as I wish I did. So I'm going to ask you to follow very, very carefully as I try to present the message plainly and clearly. We ask you, of course, never to take notes here, and I'd like for you to listen very carefully. I'm going to read for you, without your turning to it, the two passages, and let me emphasize as I read. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty on occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Let me explain what that says. That says, ye have been called unto liberty in order that ye may become servants. You have been liberated from slavery so you can volunteer to be a slave. That's what it's saying there. That's what it's saying. And before I pray, I want to say this. You show me in the Bible where you're supposed to do less as a slave or a servant than as a freed person volunteering to serve God. You read the 5th of Matthew sometime and you'll find that under slavery to the law, you're not supposed to commit adultery, but under grace, you're supposed to be a slave, a Jesus, bond slave of Jesus Christ, and not to even look at a woman and lust after her. Now read the next text we had, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Now both of those verses deal with the fact that we are people who are at liberty, we have freedom. And then it says why we have freedom, that we may voluntarily become servants, bond slaves, if you please, a volunteer slave of Jesus Christ. I want to speak tonight on the subject, misunderstood freedom, our Heavenly Father. I want to be a blessing tonight, and I sure want to clear some things up for a lot of people. And I pray you'll help me as I speak. That's all I ask, please. Help me. In Jesus' name, amen.
When the evangelical, and that's a bad word as far as I'm concerned, I like fundamental a lot better. When the evangelical talks about liberty and freedom, he talks about freedom from all rules to do what he wants to do. If he wants to wear an earring, he can wear an earring. If he wants to wear long shaggy hair like the hippies, he's free to wear long shaggy hair like the hippies. If she wants to wear mini skirts, she's free to wear mini skirts. If she wants to wear pants or shorts, she's free to wear pants or shorts. If a person wants to listen to rock music, he's free to do that. But the evangelicals are wrong there if they're wrong in so many places. That's not what this says. God is simply talking about freedom from the wrong master in order that you may serve the right master. I'll make this statement. I was going to make it later on in the sermon. I'll make this statement. Everybody's supposed to be a slave. Everybody's supposed to be a slave. There are no free people. Bond slavery to Christ is the only way to be freed from compulsory slavery of sin and Satan. Either you are a bond slave of Jesus Christ, or you have left yourself a vacuum where Satan can enslave you by his own antics and wiles. It is freedom from what would require us to serve, to freedom to volunteer and choose to be a servant. It is freedom to be a volunteer slave. It is freedom to do what you were made to do. Let me illustrate what I mean. I do not want to use this microphone as amplifier, but I want to take this microphone tonight, and I'm going to take it off of that place right there. Now, this microphone was made to fit right there. There's no other place this microphone can fulfill its purpose in life unless this microphone is stuck right there. No other place at all. Now, let's suppose this microphone says I'm free. I'll go where I want to go. And you can't throw any better than that, just get off the team. Let Dan Wolf take your place. This microphone says, I'm free. I want to be free. This microphone is only made to fit right there. And you were made by God for a specific purpose, just like this microphone was. And the only freedom you have is to be what God made you to be, what God wants you to be. It's not this kind of freedom that says you don't like the regular traditional service. Have a stupid tradition, contemporary service. No, not talking about that at all. It's not talking about the child of God. You get saved, you're free to do what you want to do. It means you're free to do what he wants you to do and be what he wants you to be. So that microphone was made to be right there. Anywhere else, it's a slave. And the only right it has is to do the thing that God made it for. Now, this is a part of several of my sermons. I won't spend long here. But God had a job one day that God wanted somebody to do. And God made me to do that job. And God had a job one day he wanted somebody to do. And God made you for that job likewise. That means this. That I am made to do that job. Now, hear me carefully. There are masters that Satan uses to enslave me to keep me from that job. Now, when God frees me from these masters that Satan would use to enslave me, God does not free me for me to go where I want to go. He frees me so I can go where he wants me to go. God does not free me to do what I want to do. He frees me to do what he wants me to do. He does not free me to be what I want to be. He frees me to be what he wants me to be. Ladies and gentlemen, the evangelical world, I'm talking about the Promise Keepers and all the rest of the mixed up people, the evangelical world is built around this thing that we're free. And they say, if we believe in haircuts for men and decent dress for women, we're legalists. Oh, watch out, your stupidity is showing very, very much. Legalism has nothing to do with the way you dress, the way you wear your hair. Legalism is those that add something to the gospel. Jehovah's Witnesses are legalists because they add something to the gospel. The Carmelites are legalists because they add something to the gospel. The Catholics are legalists because they add something to the gospel. And Seventh-day Adventists are legalists because they add something to the gospel. But when my mama taught me to get a haircut, she wasn't being a legalist. She was simply telling me that as a child of God, set free, that God wanted me to be what He wanted me to be, and I was supposed to be a bond slave for Him. Now listen carefully. God wants to give me liberty from these masters so I can choose to be a bondservant. That is what sin really is. Sin, basically, is you're not doing what God put you here to do. Now listen to me carefully. The greatest sin is the sin of not being what God made you to be. You young people, you're seniors now. I'm a little tired of seniors coming in my office, and I say, what are your plans for the future? Well, I've always enjoyed law. I've always wanted to be a lawyer. I'm sorry, but that's not a good enough reason to be a lawyer. Well, I've always liked sports. I want to go to a secular university. I wouldn't give you a dime for every secular university in the world tonight. I wouldn't give you a dime for it. Not a dime for it. And if you're headed for a secular university, you get right with God and decide to go to some old-fashioned Christian school that'll teach you this book and teach you soul winning and give you preaching every day in chapel, not once a week, but every day in chapel. Now listen carefully. Sin, basically, is not doing the thing that God wants me to do. Now, there are things that the devil puts in front of me that will hinder me from doing what God wants me to do. Now, if I get drunk, I can't be pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond. So the great sin is not getting drunk, though that is a sin. The great sin is that drunkenness keeps me from being what I ought to be and do what I want to do. For example, being a slave to nicotine. Satan wants to enslave me so I cannot be a bondservant to the job that God has called me to do. Freedom is living within boundaries and not outside them. The Old Testament cities, they had walls around those cities. That famous city of Jericho had those walls around those cities. Now, those walls around the cities were to give freedom, not slavery. Inside those walls was the freedom, not outside the walls. There are people outside that wanted to enslave the people of God. And God built those walls of protection around those people to protect them from the outside people that wanted to enslave them. And their freedom was not outside the wall. Young people, listen to me. Their freedom was not outside the wall. Their freedom was inside the wall. An old story I love to tell, don't tell it very often. I was out in Canoga Park, California, preaching. And I took a walk early one morning, about 6 o'clock, maybe 5. Just about sunup, I was walking by a house, and it was a corner house. There's a road here and a road here, and the house is right here on the southwest corner. There was a Cox chain-link fence around the backyard. You could see through it, of course. Inside that chain-link fence was a little Chihuahua dog. I mean, it looked like he was a small rat. A little Chihuahua dog. Sitting right outside that fence, I mean with his nose on the fence, was a big old bulldog. Looked like the chairman of the Board of Deacons. By the way, son, you sat in my chair a while ago. I know, but you're going to be sorry because you got a lot of work to do this week. You won't sit in my chair. But outside the fence, a big old bulldog. I mean a big guy, big old broad shoulder, had 4 or 5 chins. That big old bulldog was looking at that little Chihuahua. Is that the way a bulldog goes? That was a Cocker Spaniel over there. And so, but inside the fence was this little Chihuahua dog. This little Chihuahua was running up down right next to that bulldog going, woof, 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 woof. Now, I know Chihuahuanese real well. So I understood what he was saying. He was saying,
Let me out. I want to be free. I'm tired of being cooked up. This is legalism. I want to let my hair grow long.
It was a male chihuahua.
I want to wear an earring. I want to woof. I want to bark rock music. Woof, woof. Let me out. I want to be free.
Maybe it was a female. And maybe it was saying,
woof, woof, woof. I want to wear pants.
This picture may be a little tough for some of you preachers here tonight. But our people are used to it.
Woof, woof, woof. I want to go mix swimming. I want to, woof, woof. I want to go to an interdenominational college that has a beach.
Ask a question. Where was that chihuahua's freedom? Inside that fence? Listen, that big bulldog had his napkin already around his neck. Had knife and fork all in his paws already. Ask a question. Where was that chihuahua's freedom? Inside that fence or outside that fence? Answer me. Inside or outside? Inside that fence. If that chihuahua got outside that fence, that chihuahua would have been hamburger meat for a big bulldog. And the chihuahua ought to thank God somebody loved him enough to build that fence around him to give him freedom. I said freedom. I said freedom. I said freedom. Somebody ought to thank God somebody loved him enough to build a fence around him. The freedom is inside the fence. Now at Howells Anderson College, we've got some rules. At Hammond Baptist Schools, we have some rules. Now, those rules are to keep away from you those things that would enslave you. We have found by experience what enslaves young people. And we have built a fence around you. You listen carefully. Freedom is not over here at Purdue campus of Calumet. It's not over here at the University of Indiana, Calumet Extension. It's not down in Purdue University or University of Indiana or University of Chicago. No, sir. Freedom is in Howells Anderson College, where we have built a fence around you and told you there are certain things you can't do, and because freedom is on the inside, and what you better do, instead of saying, whoop, some of you little pusillanimous college students,
woof, 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 I don't like the rules,
you little chihuahua anything.
I don't like the rules. I want out. I want out.
You get out and the devil will get you and you'll be a slave to him. I said freedom is inside the wall and not outside the wall. God says freedom is his rules protecting you from the enslavement of the outside world. God doesn't free you to do what you want to do. God frees you to do what he wants you to do. I'm sick and tired of you little... Some of you here tonight, you came as a spectator. Well, you're going to get a bunch of specs to tape, I'll tell you for sure. I'm sick and tired of a bunch of liberals, a bunch of mini-skirted wearing... look like prostitutes rather than Christians. Bunch of long-haired hippies look like hippies instead of preachers. I'm sick and tired of you calling fundamentalists legalists. Bless God, we're not legalists. We simply believe that we're to be bond slaves to Jesus Christ. I won't belabor you with telling you again the story when I met Elvis Presley. I'll simply give you the last 2 or 3 minutes I spoke with him at the Stoney Hotel in Dallas, Texas, when he was in his heyday. It's about 40 years ago. I said, Elvis, he told me he was a Christian. Told me where he was saved. I'm convinced that Elvis Presley is in heaven. I think he's living out the edge of town with an outhouse in the back of his shack, but I think he's in heaven. But Elvis Presley told me that he was saved, born again, went to a revival meeting outside the city of Memphis, Tennessee, with his old godly grandmother, went to the altar and got saved at the mourner's bench. And I said, Elvis, I said, then why are you living the life that you're living now? And Elvis Presley said to me, Jack, I'm living this life because I got tired of being a slave. I wanted my freedom. Elvis Presley got outside the wall of protection, and the paper said, Elvis Presley died of an overdose of drugs. His freedom was inside the wall, inside the protection, and he died because he was a slave. Now, I don't care who you are, you're somebody's slave. And if you're not a bond slave of Jesus, I'm talking about a fanatic. I'm talking about a fool for Christ. I'm talking about giving God everything. If you're not a bond slave for Jesus Christ, you've opened up a vacuum in your life where Satan can enter, and the only deliverance that you can have from the slavery of Satan is to volunteer to be a bond slave, and the Holy Spirit of God sets you free from the enslavement of the world. Now the question comes, when can you exercise this freedom? You children, listen to me. You junior highers, listen to me, and you high school students, listen to me. You say, Brother House, when can I exercise this freedom? Listen carefully. When you are wise enough to choose what up to now has been chosen for you. You are not supposed to choose until, I said again, you are wise enough to choose what up to now has been chosen for you. Let me illustrate. My secretary is my age, 2 years, 2 days younger than I am. She fell and broke her hip probably 4 months ago. Now she's been in a cast all this time, and she's been also on a walker. Now she goes back to the doctor after a while and finds out if she can walk. And the doctor says, I'm sorry, we can't remove the cast because your bone is too soft. And will not remove that cast until the bone is hard enough where it will keep its place and position after the cast is removed. Now we place the cast on you young people, you children, we place the cast on you at school. And you junior hires, we place the cast on you at school. And you high schoolers in college, and by the way, you're not old enough to have the cast removed. You say, I want to be free. That proves what I just said. You're not old, and you have no, hear me carefully now, this old thing, I want to be free. I'll say it again, as sure as you get free of being a bond slave for Jesus Christ, the devil will enslave you some way. In fact, he may enslave you in the enslavement of wanting to be free. Illustration. You put some forms down, you're going to pour concrete sidewalk. You put some forms down. You pour that concrete. Now, when do you remove the forms? Not until the concrete is hard enough to retain its same position after the forms are moved. You go, and you say, okay, when can I be free? Whenever you are able, okay, when you are able to be your own mom or your own dad. But if you want to be free to go to your rock concerts, you'll be a slave to the Elvis Presley crowd. So we have built for you, and by the way, as long as the old man's alive, these forms will stay right where they are now. And this wall of protection will stay right where it is now. Well, you say, Brother House, I just believe there's a generation gap. Yeah, the generation gap has sent our country to hell and put a president in the White House that's no more than a draft-dodging whoremonger. You want to see what freedom is? Look at our country. 77% of the citizens of the United States approve what's going on in the White House. I guarantee you, God doesn't approve what's going on in the White House. The concrete form is not removed until the concrete can hold the same form. When you can become your own principal, when you can become your own mother, when you can become your own father, then the form can be removed. Before you decide to be free,
Let me suggest to you that you, please do what you want to do. I'd suggest that you check those who did that. Before you decide that you want to make your own decisions, now, you sit with the house. I'm a student at Howells Henderson College, and I just don't like our school. Well, there is a door that you can exit. And you folks that teach at Howells Henderson and work at Howells Henderson College, as long as this old man has breath to breathe, he's going to have the same standards and the same convictions that he's had for these 25 years. I know what some of you visitors are asking right now. Are your deacons here? There's the chairman right there. You say, does he like what you're saying? I don't know. I never asked him. And he likes it that way. I said, he likes it that way. Good. Check and see where the free young people are. Check and see where those that say, I just don't really appreciate my mother. Oh, boy, that makes me born of my boy, but boy. You mean you don't want to thank God for the woman that entered the jaws of death to give you life? You mean the woman that fed you before you could feed yourself, and bathed you before you could bathe yourself, and loved you before you could love yourself, and sat up at night and nurtured you, and stayed awake at night to give you life and keep you alive? I don't care what kind of troubles you have with her, you better thank God for that mother. And I want to say this too. You little teenage punkos, I want to say this too. If you don't honor your mother, you're not right with God. The Bible doesn't say honor thy good mother and thy good father. The Bible doesn't say honor thy peaceful mother and thy peaceful father. The Bible doesn't say honor thy Christian mother and thy Christian father. The Bible commands you to honor your mother and your father. Where are these people who have gotten their freedom? They're in penitentiaries. Check it out for yourself. Jails, mental institutions, divorce courts, and in poverty. They are young mothers rearing children alone, born out of wedlock. They're alcoholics, slaves to the bottle. They're up here in this rescue mission section tonight trying to get their lives reclaimed after having wanted their own freedom. They're sleeping on the streets of Chicago tonight as homeless people. They're HIV positive tonight or have AIDS. Who are they? Check them for yourself. Check them. Hey, check and see where the crowd that you want to be like ended up. Check and see. They're giving birth to illegitimate children. And this generation is a result of people, I get this, like the book of Judges, every man did that which was right. Hold it now. Not talking about people chose to do wrong. We're talking about people that decided themselves what was right. Sincere people. People who said, I want to do right, but I will decide what's right. No, this book decides what's right. The devil came to Eve in the Garden of Eden. God has said, and he misquoted the Bible, of course. But Eve, he said, if you'll just eat of the tree, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. So Eve said, I want to know what's good and what's right, what's bad. So Eve ate that tree of the garden so she could know or decide or determine what's good and evil. No preacher has a right to decide what's good and evil. And no church has a right. And no young person has a right. God has a right to decide what's good and evil. My life is spent trying to help those who are slaves, because they chose to do what they wanted to do. I know no unhappy bond slaves. None. Nobody ever comes to my office and said, Brother Hyle, I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Only to be what he wants me to be. Only to go where he wants me to go. Only to do what he wants me to do. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ, and my life is a wreck. Nobody ever comes like that. Well, why don't you have enough sense then to do what they do? But my office is one great line of people coming to me saying, my life is a wreck. What can I do? And every case, there are people who wanted to be free to do what they wanted to do. It's an old story. You preachers have all used it. You folks have all heard it. But it just illustrates what I'm saying tonight. In the city square, there was a big platform. And on that platform, there was an auctioneer back in slavery days, auctioning off slaves. I'm against slavery. Ms. Howes and I have four or five, but we're going to get rid of them as soon as we can. Angelo, start looking for a job, son. Save your food stamps. One by one, slaves came before the auctioneer. And they were sold, some for a big price, some for a small price. Finally, there was called to the auctioneer's stand a young, attractive, black, strong-looking lady. The auctioneer opened for bids to bid for this little slave gal. She had a look of chagrin on her face, bitterness on her countenance. Somebody started the bidding. Somebody else raised it, and someone raised it more, and someone raised it more. And finally, the bids were so high, no one else would outbid. And the auctioneer said, sold to the man over here. A little gal walked over to him, spat in his face, with a look of grimace and hatred. She said, I'll not be your slave. And he said, you don't understand. I saw in your face something I've not seen in the face of another. I saw in your face the face of a woman that deserves to be free. I paid the price to buy you so I could set you free. She fell to his knees and looked up at him and said, then I'll be your slave. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for me on the cross of Calvary. We sang it a while ago. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? All the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me. We sang it a while ago. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. There such love and sorrow meet, for thorns compose so rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. He set me free. He set me free. He set me free, and I want to be his slave forever. How about you? Whose slave are you tonight? What enslaves you tonight? Would you bow your heads, please?